This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, this is Cruise Control on BFM, and you are listening to the only car review and new show in Malaysia. But actually, I want to correct that. It's probably the only one in Asia. And for tonight, before we go to the car review, which is something that is quite interesting, we have some launches, local and foreign. But I would like to introduce Mr. Arif Roos. Say hello, Arif.
Hello, Mr. Daniel Fernandez.
And this is Arif Roos with the news. So, Arif, tell us the latest news.
We're going to start with something called the lemon law.
Okay, is this something to do with cooking?
No, it's not. It's not. So if you don't know what lemons are in the car, well, lemons are basically, well, cars not in a good condition.
Exactly. This all started in the UK. Yeah. The term came from UK.
Is that right?
Yes, lemon law. Okay.
Oh, so you know all the horror stories, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you buy a new car. As soon as it leaves the dealership, within a month, something breaks down, and then you send the car back, and then the car manufacturer or the dealer isn't going to fix it for you because of a loophole inside the warranty.
Okay, but actually, to be more precise, lemon law is actually more for if you buy a car and you come back and the dealer does the fix because under warranty, and then you go back home and then 2 days later you have another problem and he fixes it, and then and this goes up and down for a few times, and then you realize you've got yourself the term lemon.
Basically, a car that will never, ever, ever be fixed.
Exactly, because it's constantly, you know, when you make 100,000 of a certain product, it can be a handphone, can be a TV, can be a toaster, can be an AC unit or a car, there will always be one or two that come under this category. But Malaysia has never had this law. So please, carry on.
Yeah, I mean, that's really surprising to me because, you know, how can we not have a lemon law?
Because we eat all our lemons. We live it in our cooking.
We make lemonade with them, I suppose.
Exactly.
But anyway, this week there was quite a big call from the Penang Consumers Association, also known as the CAB.
Finally.
They're calling for it to protect buyers from defective cars, as you mentioned, Daniel.
Right.
That you know manufacturers don't intend to or they can't seem to fix the problem.
It's more that they can't fix it because it came from the factory like that.
So They kind of, like, if this kind of happens, the Penang Consumers Association are saying, like, they want a 6-month grace period for buyers of a new car.
So I think that's good.
Is that a good idea?
Yes, good.
It's also worth mentioning that Singapore also had introduced this back in 2004, so that kind of shows how far behind.
Exactly,
we are.
Because you see, in Singapore, a lot of the cars are imported.
Yeah.
Okay. And you must understand that the dynamics in Singapore is quite different in the car market. Singaporean drivers will not buy a Malaysian assembled car.
Oh, yeah, well.
Okay? They will not. For example, the Volvo XC90 is assembled here. It's sent to so many countries in the region, but not Singapore. Singaporeans want their cars to come from the country of origin. This is why their lemon law is very strong. Because why? If something happens, the manufacturer can actually tell their parent overseas, listen, this car actually came from the factory wrong. But when the car is coming from, say, Indonesia or Thailand or Malaysia, which assembles a lot of cars, then, of course, you know, there's a lot of conflict. Like, oh, you know, you assembled the car, maybe there's assembly process, or maybe it came from the factory itself, and then the assembly just put it together and it's not their fault. Because, for example, say now if the chassis is a little bit out of alignment, and it's a hatchback, and you close your hatch, and it's constantly leaking from the back, that's a lemon car.
So would this introduction of the lemon laws be applicable for a used car as well?
No. A used car is very hard to say. But what's going to happen now, if they introduce this law, what's going to happen is, with a lot of Malaysians, and I want to say this to qualify myself because it's BFM, there are a lot of Malaysians who are not well-read.
Yeah.
So they'll assume that, you know, oh, now my car got the slightest problem, I can get a new one. It doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. You must give them enough chance to try and fix the problem. After a while, maybe 5-6 fixes, and all these fixes must be totally different. If your tailgate keeps leaking, then you know that, you know, that tailgate ain't going to be fixed.
Yep.
You know, so there must be some conditions and some benchmarking done. And it's going to be difficult because, like I said, Malaysians tend to over-exaggerate their situation.
Well, it is still kind of an idea. We'll see whether the Ministry of Transport actually picks up on it and does something on it.
Right.
But better late than never, right?
Of course.
Moving on from the lemon law to an actual lemon, Land Rover. They've been caught in a rough patch recently.
Yes.
they recently posted their largest quarterly loss in the history of Jaguar Land Rover.
And it happens when they got the sexiest cars.
I know. It's unbelievable.
It's not fair.
They posted about £3.4 billion in losses.
Yes.
Just in a single quarter, which caused their Tata stock market value to drop about 30%.
That's a lot.
So as a result of all of this, they're looking at £775 million to try and bail themselves out and turn the company around. But, you know, they're blaming this on a lot of things, like, quote unquote, it came by a perfect storm. They said a lot of our declines in sales and all that stuff can be due to the decline in demand for diesel, as well as the US and China trade war. And even, well, they've admitted to themselves their quality issues in China.
True. Their JD Power survey ratings were actually quite low this year.
Yeah.
For both Land Rover and Jaguar. They used to be quite high, but, you know, they're a little bit low. And also, I think because, you know, I mean, I don't want to sound negative here because, you know, Richard is from UK and he's in the UK right now. But, you know, the British car industry has seen a severe decline year after year after year. And it's nothing to do with Brexit. It's basically, you know, the British used to make some of the best cars in the world.
Agreed.
I think they've become a little bit complacent because the rest of the world are just pushing hard to get things done. And, you know, like hybrid technology, they're a little bit late to come to the market. They've got the I-Pace, great electric car, but they were late to the game, you know. So I think they need to improve. They can improve.
Yeah, I mean, like that thing about complacency you said was completely true. When Jaguar released the new XF, which sort of like rebuilt the whole brand identity from ground up, right? Then the quality control issues never stopped coming, and it's been 12 years since the first model came out, right?
And their super limousine, the XJ, is 9 years.
It's too old.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great looking car, but after 5 years, you should have a new one.
I mean, also, just some facts, you know, in 2017, Jaguar Land Rover issued 13 recalls in China alone.
Okay.
And as a result, they recorded a 35% drop in sales in 2018.
Mm.
And this all had happened after they announced to cut a lot of costs over the next 18 months.
Yes, yes.
And this includes right now, this year, they're gonna plan to slash about 10% of the global workforce, which means about 4,500 employees. And right after last year, 1,500 other employees were laid off too. And as a result of all of this, we won't see the Range Rover SV Coupe, which was a really gorgeous looking thing.
Exactly.
As well as the Discovery SVX, which we don't really know where it belongs. But at least the new Land Rover Defender is still coming, right?
Yes, that is in testing right now.
Yeah.
So that was the news from Mr. RF Roos. And so right after this, we've got some car launches and we'll end the show tonight with a car review which you cannot miss. This is BFM 89.9 Cruise Control. This is Cruise Control. We are back again. And RF Roos shared with us all his interesting news, some interesting Lemon Law news, some interesting Land Rover news, and now he's going to share with us some local launches. RF.
Yep, so the first one, I think it happened on Friday, we saw the launch of the Porsche 718 Cayman Sport Design.
Sport Design.
Yeah, it's basically just an add-on package, isn't it?
It's just some add-on packages.
Yeah, well, 15 units only that they're specking over here,
and it's probably sold out.
615,000, a lot of blank buttons, as I posted up on our
Instagram. I saw you there. And I think you know, the crowd was getting all excited. Then I was thinking to myself, you got some stickers, you got some black bits, you got some alloy wheels, why do you need to take 87 pictures?
I know. Well, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Exactly. Next,
McLaren's finally launched their first showroom here. What can you tell us about it?
Okay, the showroom is up and running. The problem why they've been sitting a little dormant for the last 1 year, when I met with the CEO, simply because McLaren has gone through a branding transition. So their logos have changed a bit. The colors have changed a bit.
Yeah.
So if they had done the showroom to the earlier, when they signed the agreement, they would have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars keeping up with the CI.
Yeah.
And then come this year, they have to change everything completely. So they told McLaren in UK, can we just hold on? Can we still sell cars because we have the APs?
Yeah.
Can we still fix the cars, but we don't put up our signage and CI? So they've been sort of quiet about it. Now they've started renovation with the new CI. I will share all that video later on dsf.my. It'll be coming up soon. Meanwhile, they've sold and delivered 11 cars.
Already?
Yes. Now, don't ask me how much were the cars, because they're very expensive. All the information on dsf.my, we can go there and have a look. And don't ask me how many people paid full price. Because a lot of them bought the cars to be based in Langkawi, which is a tax-free island. So they buy these cars, they buy a tax-free price, which is about 900 or 800,000 ringgit. They park it there, and then sometime later, you know, when the car gets older, the tax gets lower, then they bring the car back in.
What a pleasure to live that life, right?
Yes, the life of the rich.
Well, I mean, if you've got enough money to buy McLaren, you could buy an official McLaren, perhaps the 600LT, because we haven't seen any of those yet, right?
Yes.
But also, more relatable news, we have the Mazda CX-8, which was just launched. This is a gorgeous car. The big news, obviously, is like it's a 6-seater and also a 7-seater.
Yes, two variants.
Yeah.
Two engine types. There's a diesel and a petrol. The diesel is the new SkyActiv diesel, which we've talked about before. The petrol is a standard 2.5, which you all know about.
Yeah.
But now it comes with the diesel, it's a 6-seater. With the petrol, it's a 7-seater. And the interior is, it looks and feels just like the CX-5, but with, I think, slightly better quality. It feels a bit more premium.
It really does. It really is. This is a gorgeous looking car. Yeah.
And the price.
Yeah, what are we expecting for it?
From 180,000 ringgit to 195,000 ringgit.
It's a genuine challenger to the Santa Fe, I think.
And the reason why they can't give us a price, because they haven't got the approval yet with the NEP and everything
else. Yes, of course.
But I'm guessing this car will get EEV status.
Oh, why?
Well, you know, SkyActiv engines, they're fuel efficient, they're low emissions. If they do get the EEV status, I'm guessing a below $180,000 price.
I saw the spec sheet for the 2.2 diesel that you posted up. It said the fuel type and all that stuff. Yes. All the petrol engines said minimum RON 95. And then I looked at the diesel one, it just said Euro 5.
Yes.
Does this mean that you can only fill up with Euro 5?
You can only fill up with Euro 5 because this is a new SkyActiv engine. Now, if you fill up with anything less, that could be a problem for the car. I would actually guess a lot of people will probably shy away from the diesel because we're not Euro 5 everywhere. Major cities, no problem, major highways. But if you say you're going to visit your old friend in a small little town like Batang Bajuntai and there's no Euro 5 diesel there, what would you do?
What can you do, right?
Yes, because Ali has got friends there and he goes and visits them quite often. Our producer, Ali.
Our producer.
Yes.
Moving on globally, last week we just missed out on the news of BMW X3 and X4 M. It's basically a Mercedes GLC 63 competitor.
Exactly.
And the weird thing is it debuts the new BMW M3 engine before the actual M3.
Correct.
It comes with the same four-wheel drive that the BMW M5 has, which means probably has drift mode. But, you know, who actually is going to use all these things on the road anyway?
But, you know, when I was looking at the pictures, it didn't shout to me.
Really?
It didn't grab me. It didn't say, buy me. It didn't even say,
I feel like it
drive
did.
Me.
I feel like it did. I think they did a good job with it.
Okay. You drive a BMW, so you can say that. Now, the next car.
Yep, it's a Ford Focus ST. We just saw new pictures of it.
I like it.
I really want one.
You know, when I looked at this car, I said to myself, this is how the next generation Mazda 3 MPS should look like. Because that's discontinued.
Yeah.
You know, the curves and everything.
Yep. And it's strong, but still quite stately and all this stuff. It's going to come with the Mustang's engine, which is a 2.3-liter EcoBoost, 276 horsepower, front-wheel drive. But I do have a question, though. Has this new Ford Focus, the regular one, actually arrived here yet?
No, that's the thing.
No.
Ford in Malaysia is trying to scale back their car operations and concentrate on the truck and commercial vehicle business.
I suppose that's why we've been seeing all these new Rangers and all that stuff around.
Exactly,
right?
Which is quite sad because this car, I say quite sad because I drive a manual.
Yeah.
But this car, because it's a manual, Malaysians will not buy it. They might sell a handful, which, you know, cuckoos like me who still drives manuals, because everybody else wants a, you know, double clutch and 9-speed and 10-speed so they can brag about it at the Teta race stall, you know?
Speaking about, bragging about things, Mini has decided to brag about their new John Cooper Works GP car.
Now this, I want to own.
300 horsepower, just 3,000 units made. And if you know anything about Minis and Mini GP cars, it's going to handle the, like, a go-kart.
Amazing, amazing. Really, I saw this at the Frankfurt Motor Show. It was a concept. And I said, you know, if they made this, I want to buy this. And then now that they're making it, I don't know whether I can afford to buy this. So I'm hoping, you know, Ali, my producer, will give me a raise. You know, so, because it's going to be awesome. It is awesome. So thank you, Arif. That was great with the news, local and foreign. And now it's time for us, the hottest topic of the evening. Everybody has been waiting by the radio to listen to our car review. Yes, we have a full car review, and it's the all-new Mercedes-Benz A-Class. Okay, to start with, this is the A200. So a lot of people said, oh, you know, why are you driving the A200? I know there's an A250.
I mean, I asked you that the first day that you came, a couple of weeks ago when you first test drove that. Because, you know, hot hatch, I put my fingers up in like quotation marks there.
You see, I always believe when there's a few variants of a certain car, I like to start with the basic model. Why? Because then when I get to the next model, I can feel the difference. I get to the next model, I can feel the difference. Now, if you start with the best model, like say, for example, if I started with the A45 AMG, I will suddenly feel very disappointed driving this.
Yeah. Spoilt for choice. You get all the things right.
So I like to start with something more basic, something more real. So we took the A200. Now, to start with, this car has got an engine that is shared with Renault.
Mm.
And there's nothing wrong with this platform sharing or engine sharing, which Malaysian car manufacturers should start learning to do. There's nothing wrong, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So they've gone and worked with Renault on this engine. It's a 1.3 turbocharged.
It's a very, very small engine.
Very small engine. So when I picked up the car, I was, you know, not really feeling all that excitement, you know, coming out of the showroom, driving in traffic. And then when the road opened up, the Sungai Besi Highway opened up, and I thought, okay, I'm just going to put it in sports mode and see how it works. It is actually quite spirited. It's not a super hot hatch. Okay, don't get me wrong. I'm not putting it up against the Golf GTI or the Renault Megane. You know, all these are really hot hatches. I'm just keeping it simple. It's a Mercedes-Benz. It's 1.3. It's a hatchback. It's got enough power. 163 brake horsepower. And it comes in almost instantly. I don't know how they did it, but you know, the torque comes in at 1,200 RPM. Very low.
That is very low. You could accelerate really quickly from the lights with that.
Exactly. And then you've got 250 Newton meters of torque. So it'll do 0 to 100 in 8 seconds, and it's got a top speed of 225. Now, all the specs aside, let's talk about what this car really means to the new buyer. Now, Mercedes-Benz, the old A-Class are already good looking.
Yeah.
But they had, you know, they had a lot of sharp edges in the old one. This one now has been smoothened out. So it's got a lot of softer edges. It almost, I would call it the dolphin look.
Definitely. It's shaped almost like a dolphin skin.
Yes. And if you look at it from aerial view, it's actually very curvaceous. Yeah. It's very nice. The front, of course, the traditional Mercedes look and feel. The back, the lights are smaller. The rear glass, you know, the hatch glass is slightly smaller. The bumpers are slightly more bigger. But all this means you get a nicer looking, I would say, an evergreen shape.
Yeah.
You know, it won't go out of style so quickly.
I totally agree with that.
And then when you get into the car, this is where Mercedes, you know, has rocked the segment. Rocked the segment. It may be a 1.3 turbocharged with 163 brake horsepower, but you get into this car, especially when it's not hot. Why? Because you don't want the sun glaring in. You get in there and you look at that new dashboard. That new tablet sitting in your dashboard.
It's really commanding.
It is.
And super clear too, right?
Super clear. Yeah. Super clear. It immediately grabs you. It immediately says, wow. You know, that wow factor comes so quickly, you're taken aback. You know, and I'm not a tech geek, but you know, when I saw that, I said, wow. You know, this is something I like to see every day in a traffic jam.
Yeah.
Entertaining to look at. And then I started thinking, oh, I'm going to be so, you know, lost with all these controls and touchscreen and touchpad and everything else. But, you know, my youngest son got into the car and he learned it so fast because kids are drawn to things like this.
Yeah.
But for me, it took me a few hours, you know, in between driving and in between actually sitting down and spending about 5-10 minutes working on a few things. You know, like I didn't realize that the steering had little small touch panels that worked with the full touchscreen.
Yep.
So you could actually not extend your arms out to the touchscreen, you can actually work it on your steering wheel. But, you know, all this needs some time to get used to. But, you know, kids just, they just gravitate towards it. So I said, okay, this is something for the younger generation. Mm. And why? Because Mercedes-Benz didn't design this car for me. Because why? It's a talking car.
I mean, and it's got all of those ambient lighting LEDs.
Exactly.
Inside, which you can so easily turn into a nightclub.
Exactly. But, you know, I don't want a nightclub. I want a soulful disco, you know. So I want a crystal ball, you know, and some pin spotlights. So, but it's nice. It's nice. When you drive, as I said, when the sun is down, you drive this car and you suddenly feel like you're in a really expensive cabin. Because why? Everything that was in the S class and E class has trickled down now to the A class, making it super luxury without having that big engine or big car or big boot, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're a Mercedes-Benz S-Class owner, you'll immediately want to buy this for your wife, daughter, your son, you know, but you want to keep it in the family.
Yeah.
And because why? If you're driving your S-Class to work and back every day, then suddenly you just want to go to the supermarket to pick up something, you can get into the A-Class and feel totally comfortable because the functions and everything are there. The seats are comfortable. The size in the cabin is not too small. It's actually quite sizable. You would not think about it, but you would think you are in a C-Class.
That is a very interesting take on this because, like, previously, the A-Class, I don't think it really stood up to par with any of the other Mercedes.
Yes.
And this time, it feels like the A-Class is the icon for the interiors of all Mercedes.
Yes.
It is that great. Yeah.
But I got to say something. This, you know, this talking to the car thing, which everybody is talking about right now. I tried talking to it. I got it to do a few things, but what someone told me, and this is a tech geek, he said, you know, it's exactly what Alexa, Siri, and Google Assistant does for you.
Yeah.
So what they've done is they've actually taken the functions of a phone, put it into a car, and integrated it with all the convenient features in the car to make it work with just voice commands. And, you know, it understands accents, it understands funny tones. It takes some time, but it does accept it, you know. So I think Mercedes has done a good job. I drove the car. I liked it. A lot of people commented, oh, you know, it's only 1.3. I know it's only 1.3. I know it's only 163 horsepower. Get in the car, test drive it. You don't need to go 0 to 100 in 5 seconds because there's nowhere to go.
And, you know, you don't need more than 163 horsepower to have a lot of fun.
Exactly. And you don't need 250 top speed because the law will not allow you to get there. So 225 is way enough.
Yeah.
So practical, 227,000 ringgit. This car gives you, you know, luxury car features. Great cabin entertainment, great connectivity if you're into all this. And, you know, if you can't afford to go to a nightclub, you can bring your girlfriend, play your music in it, and then just drive around. Because the ambient lighting will just take care of everything.
Yeah, yeah. So, shall we go to the six-point inspection?
Yeah, now? You can even make it 8-point. I got no issues with that.
I don't think I prepared that far.
No worries.
But first, okay, so, you know, we've spoken a lot about what this Mercedes is, but who exactly are its competitors and what are they like?
Okay, the direct competitors right now is the Golf GTI, of course.
Yeah.
Same price, much more powerful, but it's a Golf GTI. It doesn't have the brand panache.
And, you know, I don't think it's that new anymore, is it?
Exactly. It's a 7.5 Golf, but still, it's a more powerful car.
Would you put the Renault Megane?
Well, the Renault Megane is not officially sold here, but, you know, in the global scheme of things, yes. The new BMW 1 Series should be the direct competitor, but it's not here.
Yeah.
All the rest of the competitors are basically either Japanese or Koreans who have not been officially priced, like the Hyundai N.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, things like that.
What about the Mini Cooper?
The Mini Cooper, you see, a lot of people, when they talk about the Mini Cooper and competing with certain cars, I always put the Mini Cooper aside because that car is an icon.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody wants to buy a Mini, you can't convince them to buy something else.
Yeah, that is true.
Yes. If somebody wants to buy a Golf GTI, you can convince them to buy a Mini. You know, but the Mini always sits by itself because it's just too iconic. It's like the Volkswagen Beetle.
Fair enough.
You know? And then you have soon to be launched, the Peugeot 308 GTI.
Ah, yes.
Okay. That's also a very nice car. Supposedly coming in, it's a 1.6 turbo coming in at just about 200,000 ringgit. So if that was in the market right now, that would be the direct competitor to this.
Ooh, I mean, if it's sub 200,000 ringgit, that it really feels like a bargain.
Yes.
Okay, next question. What do you like about this Mercedes?
The cabin.
Really, just the cabin.
Even though I'm an old man, I like the cabin because you know why? It says I'm young, hip, and single.
we've spoken a lot about what you like about it, but what don't you like about it?
I personally don't like the seating comfort.
Hmm. Okay? Is it a problem with the seats or the driving position?
No, the driving position is fine, but the seats, You see, to me, this is a sporty car. If you get into a Golf GTI, if you get into the Peugeot GTI, they all have GTI seats. Hot hatch seats. Mm-hmm. This has a sedan seat. I'm not saying it's wrong, but you know, immediately when I buy a hot hatch, I want a hot hatch GTI seat. I don't want a sedan seat. It's comfortable, but it just doesn't say hot hatch without the seat.
I suppose you do have to bump up to the A250 if you
exactly,
want that.
Exactly.
So how much of an improvement is this newer class over the old one?
I would say at least 30-40%. 30-40%.
It really shows too. Yes. I think when I was poking around it too, the plastics, they're better. Not those brittle ones that you hurt your finger flicking
it.
You know, it's proper dampened stuff.
They've done a really good job to make this really special.
Yeah. So one of my questions, do you need to upgrade to the A250?
If you're currently an A-class driver, the older A-class, and it's past 5 years, you might as well just trade it in for this. But if you were looking for more boot space, then you need to go to the C-class. But if you're driving one of the competitors' cars right now, and you don't have the new version coming out, go and look at the A250. This might not be up to mark because of, you know, again, that sports seat and, you know, the bigger wheels and everything else. But the A250 definitely ticks all the boxes.
Final question. As per your personal preference, this or a Mini?
To be honest,
spec to spec Mini.
To be
basic
honest,
Mini Cooper.
I will go for a Mini because you know why? A Mini says, "Hey, I'm young, I'm hip, I'm single, and I'm cooler." No, because two different animals. But if I'm looking for something which I can, you know, share with my wife, where she can also drive it, then of course it'll have to be the Mercedes. Mm-hmm. If it is something just for me personally, I will just go for the Mini because that handling is superb. But you got to drive the Mini like a real animal because it handles, it's stiff, it's fast, it's engaging.
Yeah.
And you cannot drive it to the supermarket.
No.
You have to drive it to take it to the supermarket and be a real pain in the butt around the supermarket, you know? Going to, you know, the car park, screech the tires, go around the corners, pull the handbrake, you know? That's the kind of thing you got to do with the Mini. You don't do that with the A-Class.
Yeah. I totally saw that picture there. Right there.
It's an advert. Okay, so it's Cruise Control, 89.9 BFM. We had a great show this Wednesday evening. Thank you, Arif. And remember, we had news, you know, the horror story about the Lemon Law coming in, whether we should have it or not, 6 months or not. We had the problems with Land Rover in UK, how much money they've lost, their stock value, and no new cars coming out. And that's going to be a real sad news for Richard Bradbury because he's still in the UK, listeners.
Yes, he is.
And then we had some local car launches, the Porsche with some stickers and black bits. You know, the McLaren is officially here, so you can buy your McLaren now. Mazda CX-8 has landed. You can book it, but you can't take it home. And then we had some global launches. And of course, we had a car review, the Mercedes A200. Join us again, same time next week. This is BFM 89.9 Cruise Control.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.